So grab your Bibles. We're going to go to a very common passage. Let's go to Psalm 23. The book of Psalm, chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. There's only six verses in this one, so I want you to read it with me as I read. So read aloud as I read. Psalm chapter 23. Once you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here a few more pages turn. We'll wait just a second. I want you to read it with me. Most of you could probably quote it, but this is an opportunity to read it with me here. Psalm chapter 23. Let's start in verse 1. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Most of us probably know this passage. Some of us have probably even memorized Psalm 23. I remember when I was just a little kid, the pastor got up and he says, hey, we're going to be going over Psalm 23 for the next five or six Wednesday nights. And he said, so I want everybody to memorize Psalm 23. And I remember going home with my older brother and we started studying Psalm 23. And I was the one that wasn't very good at memorizing. He was the better one. And I remember as we were studying, I would get most of it. He would help me out through the rest of it. And then when it finally came, the first Wednesday came when the pastor says, hey, we're going to start teaching on Psalm 23. He goes, how many know Psalm 23? And so I kind of raised my hand. Of course, my brother's over here waving at the pastor. And so he goes, okay, John, you're raising your hand. Why don't you come on up here in front of everybody and tell us Psalm 23? And I go, okay. So I got up there in front of everybody and and I started going, man, I was good on the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, that was easy. Verse 2 came along, I was doing a little bit better. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I got to verse 3 and my mind went blank. Couldn't remember it all. And I go, and my pastor saw me seeing that I messed up. He goes, you think your brother can help you out? Yeah, he could help me out. He got up there and of course, next to me, we said it together. It was no problem. So most of us can probably recite this. Psalm 23, I actually asked my wife last night to recite it, and I had to give her some helps as well. But I'd been studying it, so I already knew it. But anyways, Psalm 23 is a very common passage. It's something that we learn even as young children, and there's some really, really good things in it. Of course, this is a Psalm of David, and this is the same King David as also David the shepherd boy. So when you put it in perspective, like we know King David, but then do we really know about Shepherd Boy David? Because it's Shepherd Boy David that wrote this one, not King David. Because Shepherd Boy David knew what a shepherd was supposed to do. David knows what it means to be a shepherd. The Psalms, it gives us great insight here in Psalm 23 about how a shepherd acts, as well as how God takes care of us as sheep. So there's a lot inside of here, but I'm just going to actually deal with just one portion of this tonight, or this morning, and we're going to be in verse 4 of chapter 23. The very last part of it, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff. The first time I read this passage, back when I was practicing it with my brother as a child, I didn't focus on the rod and the staff. As a matter of fact, I was more focused on everything else that he was talking about at that time. But one day I noticed that David was comforted by something as he was going through a valley of death. And as I noticed that he was comforted in something, I wanted to see what that comfort was all about. Why would he take comfort in objects? What would be so comfortable about a rod and a staff being in the hand of the shepherd? So I began to study it out, and there's some really neat things that come with this. How many in here are shepherds? Good. You might learn something today. All right. So we're going to look at these two objects here that David was comforted by. The first one there is the rod. The rod. So what is a rod? Well, the rod is about 3 to 4 feet long, and it depends on your size. As a shepherd, this has to fit you. You need to be able to handle this rod as a shepherd. And it's a club-like instrument. I was reading, when I was studying for this, there's a shepherd in the Middle East today, and he wrote this: each shepherd boy, from the time he first starts to tend his father's flock, takes special pride in the selection of a rod and staff, exactly suited to his own size and strength. He goes into the bush, and he selects a young sapling, which is dug from the ground. This is carved and whittled down with great care and patience. The enlarged base of the sapling, where its trunk joins the roots, is shaped into a smooth, round head of hard wood. The sapling itself is shaped to the exact fit of the owner's hand. So as a young boy, this shepherd that is going to help his father with the flock, he goes and finds a young sapling, and he begins to whittle a rod. Now, as a young child, you wouldn't need a 4-foot rod, because my kids are about 4 feet. So you wouldn't have something the size of you as a rod, because of what we're going to talk about here in a minute, of what a purpose of the rod is. But you would have, he would whittle it, he would make it to just the right size for him. For me, 3 to 4 feet may be just about right. But for a young child, he would have got it just the right size. And then he makes a little knob on the top of it. And that's important here. In just a minute, we'll find out. But it's exactly his size. It's exactly the weight that he can hold, that he can use. Listen, this is something that he's going to keep with him the whole time. He's not dropping the rod at any time. He will constantly be holding this. You don't want something that's 50 pounds if you got to be walking around with this thing all the time. So it's exactly the right size for that person that's doing this. So we can see what the rod is. It's 3 to 4 feet, depending on your size. It's whittled down into a cane type, and it's got a big knob on the top. So what's the purpose of the rod? Well, the first obvious reason of a rod would be to protect the herd. The man that I was talking about that was a shepherd today in the Middle East, he continues and he says this: after he completes the rod, the shepherd boy spends hours practicing with the club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It becomes his main weapon of defense for both himself and his sheep. The rod, in fact, was an extension of the owner's own right arm. It stood as a symbol of his strength, his power, his authority in any serious situation. It's a club-like instrument. It's so that when you come up against some type of enemy that's going against your flock, you can have it. It is an extension of your right hand to beat whatever comes around. David himself, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 37, he actually says that he was protecting his father's sheep and that he would use that rod to protect the sheep. It says that he went up against a lion and a bear. I guarantee you that rod was part of it. It says that he smote the lion. Had to be with that rod. And with a rod that is 3 or 4 feet long, I have a lot bigger extension. Now, I have a pretty big extension as it is with my arms, but imagine if I had another 3 or 4 feet on the end. I could protect my whole family. You come near my family and I got a rod in my hand, I could protect them. That's the point of the rod, is to protect the sheep. It's to keep whatever's coming against the sheep, to protect it. So you can see why David says, man, that comforts me. When I see God with the rod, man, that's comforting. That means he can protect me from whatever's going on around me. Doesn't matter what enemy comes my way, that rod is in his hand and it will protect me. We talk a lot about how Satan and how he will tempt us and he will try to use things against us. This world will come against us. And God says, that's right, I got a rod. I can protect you. Listen, as strong as we may think that Satan is, God is stronger. He's the one that created him. And so with God being stronger than Satan, that rod would be a protection for us. You look at Job in the Bible and it says that that Job was losing. Satan came to God first and God said that, hey, where have you been? He says, I've gone all over the place. Nobody's following you anymore. And he says, well, what about my servant Job? He goes, yeah, but you're protecting him. You got a hedge about him. I can't touch that man. You're right, because he's mine. And even when he allowed Satan to do something to Job, he says, but you leave Job alone. You don't touch Job. And even after that, he goes, God, but if you would give me just a little bit, I guarantee you Job will curse you to your face. He goes, okay, but don't kill him. You can see God protects his people. And David is looking here at the rod and he goes, yes, he's my shepherd and he has that rod. And every time I see that in his hand, I know I'm protected because God protects me with that rod. And David going in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, I'm going through a valley. I'm going through the valley of death. I'm going through a really hard time in my life. But you know what gives me comfort? That shepherd has the rod. It's there to protect me. When I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to worry about what's going on around me because that shepherd has the rod. What comfort we can take from that good shepherd having a rod. So the first reason was pretty obvious. The rod is to protect the herd. David used it himself. And so now we also see that the rod is good for correcting the sheep. Sometimes a wayward lamb needs to be corrected. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now this one, especially for young people today, you don't understand this. You say, why would the correcting rod give me comfort? As a young person, getting swatted a couple times isn't something that's exciting or comforting. As a matter of fact, it's uncomfortable to the person that's getting the swats. But David is seeing it now as a shepherd sees it. Because when a wayward sheep goes away, he knows that there's no protection over there. When a wayward sheep starts to go his own way, the shepherd can't be there to protect him anymore. And so sometimes I need a little correcting to bring them back in. Listen, for my kids especially, because that's who I am raising, that's who God gave me, I want them not to go down the wrong path. And there are times that I have to use the rod to correct. And it's not because I'm trying to be mean, it's not because I'm because I hate my children. No, it's because I don't want them to go the wrong way. I don't need a wayward sheep. I need them to follow after me because I'm going to show them the right way to go. And if they start going off in their own way, I can't protect them as much. Listen, the shepherd knows what's best for the sheep, so he leads them where they need to go. If you look back in verse 2, of Psalm 23, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's going to take me to the greatest places that I need to go. He's going to give me only the best food. He's not going to take me to a place that doesn't have any food. No, the shepherd wants the best for me. So he's going to take me to green pastures. He says also, he leadeth me beside the still waters. If anybody's been around sheep or have studied sheep or done anything with sheep, you'll find out that they're very skittish. Why? They have no defenses. And because they have no defenses, they will not stop at running water to get a drink. Because if a sheep or a lamb goes into the water, the wool will soak up the water and they'll drown. So they're scared of running water. So a shepherd, knowing his sheep, he will take them to only still waters and give them good drink. Verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. He's the only one that knows what's good for my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, the shepherd only wants what's best for the sheep. But then it gets to verse 4 and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd already knows what's best for him. If the shepherd saw a sheep wandering away from its own or approaching poisonous weeds or getting too close to danger of one sort or another, the club would go whistling through the air and send the wayward animal scurrying back to the bunch. Now, do you see why he's got to get accurate with that rod? Sometimes it's just a reminder. As the herd is going this way and a lamb is going that way, the shepherd turns and sees the wayward one. He has his rod in his hand and he just flings it. A little hit on the side. I don't think he's aiming for the head. I think he's more just trying to hit him in the body and go, hey, we're over here. And when he does that, the lamb goes, oh, and scurries back to where everybody else is. Did you also notice there in verse 4 that it says that the shepherd will take them through a valley? Did you see that it says, thou art with me in verse 4? You know, there's times that where they've got to go a certain place that would have the great pasture, green pastures. It would have the still water. It's going to be the right path. But I've got to get you through this valley to get you to that spot. Sometimes there's trying times. You know, as I've read in the book of Genesis, we have Joseph who doesn't seem like he's done anything wrong in his life. But yet he goes through one trial after another trial after another trial to get to where God wanted him. Why is that? God says, I got to perfect you here before we can get you here. There's times that God's going to take us down the valleys to make us better. The Bible talks about how that you have to go through the fire when it talks about purifying gold. In order for it to get the best, purest gold out of it, you've got to go through the fire. Not just once, but then you got to skim the bad stuff off and then let it harden again, then put it back through the fire again and skim it again to get all the impurities out of it so that it can be the best we can do as humans is 99.9% pure gold. Why do they do that? Why do we do that to get the most pure gold? It's because we want all the impurities out. God says, look, sometimes I want you to get to the perfect place for you, but we've got to go through this valley to get you there. Which now you can see why we get wayward sometimes. We go, I don't want to go through that valley. I don't want to go through that hard time. Why don't I just go this way? It's easier. Why don't I take over? Why don't I take control of my life and I'll just go this way because I can do it this way? And God says, no, I'm the good shepherd. I have a plan for this. And besides all of that, I'm going to be with you the whole time. I'm not leaving you as we go through the valley. I'll be right there with you the whole time. Maybe this is even the fastest way to get to the desired end. And you just don't know it because you can't see the future. You say, oh, I want to get over there, but going right straight through there is going to be tough. I'll just make a detour and go around. You might end up there, but it's going to be a lot harder. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it actually says, I'm paraphrasing here, but it says that you spare the rod and you spoil the child. I know it's not politically correct today to say that I spank my child. I understand today there are some people out there that would frown when you go, I'd spank my child today. But I want you to understand something. God's word hasn't changed. And when God says, if you spare the rod, you spare the punishment, you're going to spoil the child. They're going to have a harder time in life. If you ever try to change what God says, you're going to go down the wrong path. And there are examples all over this world of people who have not listened to God's word and have decided not to spank their children because somebody in a book told them that they shouldn't do it. And now their kids are wayward. God doesn't just write this down for us to go, hey, this is some good reading, you ought to read it. Or say, oh, no, just put it up on a shelf, you might need it later. No, 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 he says, this is everyday life that I have planned out for you here. And as a parent, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of your pride. You're going to have to follow God's word. See, as I read this and as I was studying this, as a parent now, I understand what he's talking about, that the rod is a comfort, even though it's there to chastise me, to correct me. But as a child, as I'm reading this, and I go, I don't like getting whooped. I don't like spankings. I don't like it when I get corrected. But now as a father, I look back and I go, that makes perfect sense. I wouldn't do it any other way. And as much as you young people here today are looking at me like, that's not comfort when I get spanked. You get older, you'll understand a little bit more. Listen, it's not exciting for us as parents to spank you either, by the way. We're not sitting in our bedrooms going, all right, what's Benjamin done today? I'm ready to whoop somebody. That is not what we're doing. Benjamin's looking at me like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything wrong today. No, that's not what parents are doing. What they're doing is they're looking at the Bible and reading the Bible and going, look at how perfect and right this is every time I follow it. So when it says that I'm not supposed to spare the rod, I need to do what it says. And then when my kids get older, they'll take it with them. And they'll realize how much they really needed that at times. Listen, I look back when I was a kid, I needed a lot myself. I went wayward quite a bit. And I needed that constant reminder of somebody going, wrong way, come back this way. As an adult, as a dad, I see the comfort in the rod, even though it's there to chastise me. Another reason that he has the rod, it's to use to be checking up for the sheep. And this is one of the best parts. As I was reading this, as I was learning how shepherds do things, this was exciting to me. I had no idea that this is what the rod was for. It was obvious that it would be there to protect me. It was obvious that it would be there to chastise me. But this one was amazing to me. The rod is actually for checking on the sheep. So this man, again, that in the Middle East, it says that he would cause the sheep to pass under him. In Ezekiel 20, verse 37, it says, and I, talking about God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Talking about the house of Israel. He says he would have you pass under the rod. Passing under the rod would allow the shepherd to maneuver the rod and his hand through the wool to see if there were any blemishes. To see if there were any cuts, any bruises, any diseases, or any abnormalities in the sheep. Most of us understand sheep have a bunch of wool, which we love because that's how we make some clothes and sheets and stuff like that. But it gets really full if you don't shear it back. And as the sheep are coming into the fold, he will go to each individual one of his sheep and he will move the wool back with that rod. And when they are good shepherds, they know how to maneuver that rod to where they could see the whole body. You can see it's a very intimate part that they have with their sheep in the sense that they're trying to make sure that they're in good condition. When they went out that day to go get their food and their water, there might have been something that they got into, and there he's bringing them back, and individually, one by one, he's moving back the wool to see if there's any cuts, bruises. Doesn't this sound familiar? Remember in the New Testament, the Bible says that he knows even the hairs on our head. Isn't that amazing? The shepherd takes the rod and he uses it to see everything about you, to move everything back, to clear out the clutter, to see exactly what's wrong with you. It's amazing to see what the rod can be used for. One by one, they pass under the rod. You see the comfort in the rod? The protection is there. That's comforting. The chastisement's there, whether you like it or not. That's comforting. And then we also have going under the rod to check on our well-being. That's wonderful to think about that rod. Typically, when we think of a shepherd, we're not thinking of the rod. As a matter of fact, the next point is our staff that the shepherd would be holding. Most everybody knows about the staff because every time that there's a Christmas play, you got them shepherds running around with that staff. But how many of us think about the rod? It's typically not there in a Christmas play. The comfort that they could get from that. But that leads us on to our second point, and that is the staff. The rod and the staff comfort me. So what is a staff? Like I said, most of us already know, but a shepherd's staff is normally a long, slender stick, often with a crook or a hook at the end. In a sense, the staff, more than any other item of his personal equipment, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. Doesn't matter what else he's wearing, doesn't matter whatever tools he's carrying, the one that most of us think about a shepherd having is a staff. That long, skinny stick with a little curve on the top of it. Now, this is also selected with care by the owner. It is shaped, smooth, and cut to the best suit of his own personal use. They make it so that it would help them in their everyday shepherding experience. So what's the purpose of the staff? Well, whereas the rod conveys the concept of authority, power, of discipline, of defense against danger, the word staff speaks of all the long-suffering and kindness of the shepherd. Total opposites, right? So the rod, like I said, it's something for authority, power, discipline, defense against danger, but a staff is more long-suffering and kindness. The first thing that we see a staff's purpose is it draws the sheep together in more of an intimate relationship. The shepherd I was talking about earlier, he would use his staff to gently lift a newborn lamb and bring it to his mother if they become parted. He does this because he does not wish to have the ewe reject her offspring if it bears the odor of his hands upon it. So when a baby's born from the lamb, it says that he doesn't just go up to it and grab it and hand it to the mom. It says because some of the sheep would smell the hands of the shepherd and go, it's not mine. So he would take that staff and he would just bring it in close to the mom. So he doesn't get his hands, the smell of his hands upon that brand new baby. The staff is used by a shepherd to reach out and catch individual sheep, young or old, and draw them close to himself for intimate examination. So he uses that rod to examine them, but he uses that staff to pull them close to examine them. See, sometimes the staff is very useful in a way that for the shy and timid sheep to normally tend to keep their distance from the shepherd, to bring them in close when they need it. I remember watching some of the stuff with my grandpa when I was a kid, and all them old black and white movies, some that didn't even talk. Who listens? Who watches those things? But I remember somebody up on stage, and they start messing up whatever their routine's supposed to be, and then you'd see this big old hook come out and just pull them off. That's what I've always thought about a shepherd's staff. It's all like, okay, that's enough. Get out of the way. But in this situation, it's the opposite where he's saying, okay, you're way over there, but I need you over here to me. I need you to stay close to me. Sometimes the sheep are a little shy. They don't want to be around a human that they're not quite sure about, even though it could be their shepherd that they've raised, the mom, and yet they're still a little afraid of that human. It's a way to bring them in close. Sometimes my kids start to wander out a little bit, and I got to bring them close to me. And it's not because I'm mean, not because I'm trying to do something to them. It's just the fact that, hey, you need to stay close to me. The closer you are to me, the more I can protect you. I don't know how many times I've told my kids, we'd go for a walk, and my boys and sometimes my girls will want to run way ahead of us. And at times I'll have to go, hey, come back. And they'll come all the way, they'll come running back to me. And I would tell them, hey, it's all right to go a little bit ahead of me, but if you go so far ahead of me, I can't protect you. You got to stay close to me. If you want the protection of me, you've got to be around me. Now, I can take off and run, but I'm a big guy. And they could probably get away with you before I can catch up. But if you're close to me, I'm a big guy. And they're going to have a hard time getting you away from me. And so that's what he's saying with this, staff that I have, it's to bring you closer to me. I can protect you this way. Can you imagine if an animal was coming up to take that lamb away from you, that you could just go, whoop, nope. This is my lamb, not yours. It's a way to get in close. It's to keep them close to you. The staff is also used for guiding the sheep. Again and again, this man that is a shepherd, he says, I've seen the shepherd use the staff to guide his sheep gently into the path or through some gate or along dangerous, difficult routes. He does not use it exactly to actually beat the beast. Rather, the tip of the long, slender stick is laid gently against the animal's side, and the pressure applied guides the sheep in its way the owner wants it to go. Thus, the sheep is reassured of the proper path. Now, if you look at it like this, I'm 6'4". My kids vary in height. I can see a little bit further than they can. I can see over some things that they can't see. And as a shepherd with a lamb or sheep, they're a lot shorter than he is, and he can see further than they can. They can see what's in front of them, but he can see even further. And he knows, hey, we can't start straying this way because we're going to come to the cliff. We need to get everybody back up against the wall. And he does that by just gently taking that staff and pushing it against their side, giving a little bit of pressure, and they go over that way. He's not beating them with it. As a matter of fact, shepherds don't drive the lambs like cattle. They lead them. We're going this way. You follow me. I've got the right path. I know where we're going. How many of you have ever been in the car and you're going somewhere and the kids are all like, Dad, you missed your turn. And you go, no, I didn't. Well, but Dad, that way is the way to the house. Well, we're not going to the house. Oh, so I knew where I was going after all. See, the sheep don't know where they're going. They know where they've been, and they'll go back to that, but they don't know where they're going. Only the shepherd does. So he'll lead them. And sheep being stubborn creatures, sheep often get into the most ridiculous and precarious dilemmas. Some of the sheep are greedy for one more mouthful of green grass. They climb up or they climb down steep cliffs where they can slip and fall into the sea. Only the long shepherd's staff could lift them out of the water and draw them back onto solid ground. Isn't it amazing at times we get ourselves in such precarious situations? When we decide to stray off on our own, that I just need just a little bit more of that. I'll be okay if I just get a little bit more. Then they find themselves in the middle of a dangerous situation that they never thought they'd be in. Another common occurrence was to find sheep stuck fast in labyrinths of wild roses or brambles where they had pushed in to find a few stray mouthful of green grass. Soon the thorns are now hooked in their wool and they could not possibly pull free, tug as they might. Only the use of the staff could free them from their entanglement. Do you see why David looks at the rod and the staff and goes, man, that's comforting. That's comforting. Most of us know, but if you don't, sheep have no defenses, so they have to rely heavily on the shepherd and his protection. Typically, most animals have some type of defense. Either they can run really fast, or they have claws, or they have big teeth, something to protect them. Or maybe they have really strong hide, maybe they have horns, some have antlers, to protect themselves. Sheep have nothing. They can run fairly fast, but compared to a coyote or a cougar or mountain lion, they don't stand a chance. They don't have anything to protect them at all. As a matter of fact, I found out that goats actually don't have any top teeth. That doesn't help in a fight. So you can see they have no defenses, and so they don't know what to do except with that shepherd's protection. The rod would be something that they could take comfort in. In times of danger, the shepherd would use his staff to help. The staff would be something to take comfort in. Then we find out in the New Testament, Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. You have some that are shepherds, and then you have some that are hirelings. The hirelings are there just, they're hired so that they can watch the sheep while the shepherd goes and gets some rest or has to run to town to get something. The hireling would be there to watch them. But it says that as soon as trouble comes, the hireling runs away. The shepherd stays there and fights for his flock. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm here. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to guide you. I'm the good shepherd. David tells us that we are sheep in need of the shepherd's rod and staff. When we go through hardships, even in good times and bad times, we need the rod and the staff. We could have comfort in the good shepherd taking care of us with that rod and staff. See, David, the shepherd boy, knew what it meant to be a good shepherd. He knew that he couldn't just take them to any old pasture. They would need green pastures, good food that they could eat. He didn't lead them beside running water. He took them to still water. He took care of them. He knew what they wanted. He knew what they needed. He led them in the paths of righteousness. He took them to where they needed to go. Even through the hard times in the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I was there to take care of them because as I was there, no evil would fall on them. That rod and the staff, they took care of them. See, sheep left to themselves will hurt themselves. They'll go back to the green places that they knew before, that the shepherd had taken them before, but they'll stay there and they'll eat until there is nothing left except for dirt. And they'll go to a place that had water, but now maybe it's dried up, and they will drink that muddy pool water just a little bit there by themselves. But when the shepherd's there, they see that rod. They see that staff, and they can take comfort. Even though it may not all be exciting what they do with those things, still, We could take comfort in it. If Jesus is the good shepherd, he knows how to use the rod. He knows how to use the staff. As I was studying this, I was reading somebody, and they said that from now on, all's what I think of is that God is nothing but love. And listen, God is love. The Bible says he's love. But he's also the God of correction. He's also the God of long-suffering. He is all of those things. So you can't take one out of his hand. You can't just go, okay, the shepherd has a staff. That's all the good stuff, the long-suffering and kindness that he has. That's all I want. God goes, no. Still need the rod. Still need to do this. Listen, we can take comfort in the fact that the shepherd has the rod and the staff. Let's pray.